Behold, this is the law of the temple. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It's Tuesday morning, and that means it has been 2 days since the last divine service, and will be 5 days until the next one in this building, this sacred space. Sometimes these spaces, these days in between our weeks, can seem like many miles. Monday through Saturday, walking in tight spaces, or simply just taking in what the Lord has next to show us. The text in Ezekiel is a similar in-between time. The temple is ruined. The people are working regular jobs in Babylon, and this makes the glory seem gone. But on a random day, God pulls back the curtain. Ezekiel is standing at the east gate, and right beside him is that familiar companion from chapter 40, the man who shines like polished bronze. A primary figure here, as he is in Daniel chapter 10, and also the beginning of the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ in chapter 1. But first, what is his identity? Since all three of these visions match in language, this clothed in linen, belt of fine gold, appearance of radiance like beryl or chrysolite, face like lightning, countenance shining like the sun. Both Daniel and Revelation describe his eyes like flaming torches, and his arms and feet polished bronze, like fine brass refined in a furnace. And his voice is the voice of a multitude, the sound of many rushing waters. Last week we read John seeing the New Jerusalem as the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Measurements of foundations and gates. And we discussed the putting off of a geopolitical timeline or literal blueprint, but confessed and accepted that the tradition is not a physical building, but a people. And that is because Revelation is showing us that because of Christ's sacrifice, the entire church is now the Holy of Holies. God doesn't dwell inside a building apart from his people. His people are his dwelling place. So this brings the conversation full circle. The man of bronze, surveying the temple with Ezekiel, sharing the same heavenly brilliance. For 19 years, the exiles have lived with the memory of Ezekiel 10, the devastating moment God's glory packed up and left the polluted temple, moving east over the Mount of Olives, leaving the city defenseless. But now Ezekiel is standing at the east gate, the very gate the glory walked out of. But he isn't alone, though. The man who looks like burning bronze in Ezekiel 40, chapter 40 and verse 3, the pre-incarnate Christ, who has spent three chapters meticulously measuring every wall, gate, and chamber, is standing right next to him. And why did he measure it all? Because you don't measure a ghost town. You measure a home you are about to move back into. And why, through the later chapter now in this vision, is the bronze man still there? Because Sunday's glory isn't a fleeting notion. It's an enduring reality that anchors our Tuesdays, our everydays in between the divine service, God's service, where he comes down and serves us during our Sabbath rest. But notice that he doesn't just show up for the grand opening. He, capital H, has been walking through the mud and the debris with Ezekiel, all while holding a measuring line. But once again, why does he measure? Because you don't measure what you intend to abandon. You don't measure that. A Sunday's liturgy is where Christ publicly measures us. He claims us in absolution, marks our dimensions in the Word, and sets the boundaries of our life in the Creed. Then comes the roar. The glory returns from the east, and his voice is like the sound of many waters. It's the same voice Daniel heard by the river, the same voice John heard on Patmos. It is the voice of Jesus. And when Ezekiel falls face down in fear, the bronze man remains standing beside him, our mediator who stands between us and the overwhelming holiness of God. What actually happens on Sunday then? On Sunday morning, the east gate opens. The voice, like many waters, speaks through the mouth of a called servant, "I forgive you all your sins." And the glory then enters the house. But God tells Ezekiel, "This is the place of the soles of my feet where I will dwell forever." In the New Testament, Christ doesn't leave the building when the hymn to depart plays. The reason we can gather on a Tuesday morning and pray the office is because you are the temple. You are the temple complex that the bronze man measured. The layout of the temple has expanded, though, you see. And through holy baptism, you became the place where the soles of his feet rest. But here now, the blueprint taking place. In verses 10 through 11, God says to show them the blueprint, so they are ashamed of their iniquities. What does this mean? Well, when we look at the perfect symmetry of God's design for our lives, and then look at our messy Mondays, our snapping at family, our anxieties about the week, we see our structural failure, that we are out of alignment. What of the trauma then in Ezekiel of the missing glory? Well, we don't rush into the gate. We first have to sit in the rubble. And we remember that for nearly two decades, Israel has lived with a theological black hole. They remember when the glory of Yahweh rose from the cherubim, hovered over the threshold, moved to the east gate, and then left the city over to the Mount of Olives, and the house was left desolate. And we know what that desolation feels like. We know what it's like when Sunday's hymns fade, and by Tuesday morning we feel spiritually displaced, looking at the culture and personal ruins all around us, wondering if God has packed up and left the building. Thus, the resolution must be to look back at your guide. Recall, and then recall again, that Ezekiel's standing at that exact same east gate where the glory left, but he isn't alone. Stand there with him. Look at his companion, none other than the man with the appearance of bronze, the man of bronze, the divine man, who doesn't use the measuring reed to beat Ezekiel with. He uses it to define the space. And bronze, the metal of the altar, as refined in the fire. This is a Christophany, the pre-incarnate Christ. And what has he been doing for three chapters with Ezekiel? Measuring. Then Ezekiel hits the dirt. He falls face down because the raw holiness of God is terrifying to a sinner. But look back at the God. The man of bronze doesn't fall. He stands upright in the glory because he is the glory. And he stands there as Ezekiel's mediator. When the terrifying voice of God thunders, Christ stands beside you, shielding you, making the presence of God a comfort rather than a consumption. And Christ looks at your broken Tuesdays and says, "I have measured the space." And Christ is using the space. He bought it with his blood. And Christ places the soles of his feet upon our altar and the sacrament on Sunday and declares, "Your sins are forgiven, covered by my perfect architecture." But this is still Tuesday. Yet through holy baptism, you are the temple complex. You are a living stone. Your Tuesday is measured, but your week is secure. And so we are sent into the week, albeit with a final decree, verse 12. This is the law of the temple, the whole territory, all around shall be most holy. Under the old covenant, holiness was trapped inside a stone room. But under the new covenant, because the voice spoke over you on Sunday, the holiness travels with you. As you leave this morning's office of prayer and singing and go back to your car, your families, appointments, chores, or duties, you are walking out as Christ's measured living stone. Because the bronze man who stood beside Ezekiel will still be standing beside you at 2 p.m., 9 o'clock tonight. You who are now living under the sound of the voice that protects you, measures you, and keeps you. Until the day we enter the city that needs no temple, because the Lamb is its light. And until that eternal dawn breaks, he remains your faithful companion right here in the ordinary, even in the time and space of your Tuesday. In the name of Jesus, amen.